Today on the DML News Podcast, Donald Trump is just dominating in the polls, and the New York Times seems to be giving up on Biden. Plus, the rule of law finally kicks in, well, at least against climate change activists. There's no rule of law at the border, and we're going to give you numbers that are going to blow your mind. So get ready. Denny's here, Ryan's here, and we're all unfiltered.
Dennis Michael Lynch gives you his word, and he will never let you down. He will always fight for America.
The only one who really puts his money where his mouth is Dennis Michael Lynch.
Hello, I'm Dennis Michael Lynch, and I thank you for joining me today. Real quick, today is the last day that we will be on Apple Podcasts, giving you our full show. We wanted to do it last week, but we forgot that Friday was the Wine and Talk, and the Wine and Talk isn't in audio format. So today is the last reminder. It's the last day. We will be posting a preview to what the full show will be on Apple Podcasts. But if you're listening, you're only going to hear about the first 3 to 4 minutes, and that's that. The best way to hear this show on audio if you are an Apple Podcast user is very simple. All you have to do is go and download the DML News app from either the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. Turn the notifications on. Look for the podcasts. Every single day, you'll get a notification as the podcast is ready to go. And of course, if you want to watch this program, you could do exclusively just that. On the DML News app, tab 5 is the interact button. You click Team DML memberships. You become a team member of Team DML. There's lots of different advantages, different programs that you can choose from. And bingo, we're with you every single day. That is that. All right, Denny. So, you know, I am a big supporter of the rule of law. I can't think of anybody who wouldn't be. Of course, when you get pulled over for speeding, the rule of law kind of sucks. But at the end of the day, you shouldn't have been speeding, right? All right. So if we're all held accountable for our crimes, and I don't mean made up crimes like the one they're making up against Trump with, you know, all of his real estate shenanigan stuff that is just normal practice business. I'm talking about real stuff. If you do a crime such as taking powder and trying to destroy the U.S. Constitution, you should be held accountable. And unfortunately, in today's day and age, we're not really holding anybody accountable for anything, not anything big anyway. I was very happy to see yesterday when I was working the DML News app, doing the stories in the morning, that there were climate activists who did that sort of thing. We reported on it about 2 to 3 weeks ago, maybe. And they have, believe it or not, been charged with a felony. Wow. What do we have there? Any details you could share with us, my oldest son?
Yeah, so definitely a big viral video, so I'm sure plenty of you guys have seen it. But for those that haven't, it is the two climate activists, like you said, pouring powder over the Constitution. Thankfully, it's in a enclosed glass case. But as of this Friday, this past Friday, the Department of Justice announced that Donald Zepeda of Maryland and Jackson Green of Utah have been charged with felony destruction of government property following the climate change stunt that involved dumping red powder on the encasement that was protecting the U.S. Constitution. The duo's vandalism, which occurred on February 14th, Valentine's Day, immediately led to the evacuation of the rotunda. A video shot by a supporter shows the pair smothered in a red powder, which also appeared strewn across the Constitution's protective display case. They are part of a left-wing climate activist group called Declare Emergency, which demands that President Biden, quote, declare a formal state of climate emergency and begin to make full use of this executive authority to save this country from collapse.
Oh, good God. You know, I did a Facebook Live this morning, and it was pointed towards Democrats. And I said to them, you know, if you think your vote for Joe Biden is a good one and you're driving to work today, I want you to know that at the end of the week, when your taxes are gone from your check and you're like, what the hell? You know, remember, you voted for that. And make it even worse, you voted for those taxes to be paying for millions of people coming through the border. You have nobody to blame but yourself. It's just like a little friendly reminder. The same thing comes down to this climate change stuff. Joe Biden has been pushing electric vehicles, electric vehicles, electric vehicles. one thing after the next shows. It's not the smart play long term. We will go into a food shortage because trucks won't be able to deliver their goods if that were the case. And what does he do? He peels back off it recently because they realize the fact that the stuff that the Democrats come up with are ultimately game changers for the worse on a town, state, country, and global level. These idiots who think that Joe Biden is going to look at them and say, oh, they finally got the magic button. I'm going to do everything they said because they sprinkled a little bit of powder on a U.S. Constitution. It's so, this is what I'm talking about. These people are really, Dennis, this isn't ideology. This isn't politics. These people are mentally insane. The mentally insane people, different levels of mental insanity. You know, there's, oh my God, this guy should be in a straitjacket. And oh my God, this person voted for a Democrat. It's the same thing, only different levels.
They always try to say, right, MAGA Republicans, far-right conservatives, all the, you know, they're all cultish. They're in a cult. This looks like a cult to me. I mean, sprinkling red powder over the Constitution. I mean, one, if your objective was to destroy it, I don't know what you were thinking. I mean, I'm looking at the picture of the encasement. It's multi-layered. So, you know, no, there was going to be no objective achieved there. If it's to make a statement or to really, like, you know, go viral, well, congrats, you got your 15 minutes. And truthfully, everyone forgot about you up until today when you got felony charges handed to you.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at these two, and you're right. They just look like idiots. I mean, the one guy's wearing, you know, the sandals, and the other guy looks like he's wearing a shirt that's three times his size. You know, these are people who are not thinking with all the cylinders firing.
And like I said, there's different levels of this, right? So there's the level of the activist like this who is just absolutely out of their mind, crazy, does things in public that are just nuts, and they have to be held accountable. If they're held accountable, maybe we can stop other people from doing the same kind of stupid stuff. But at the end of the day, insane does what insane is, right? So then there's the next level of insanity, like Fannie Willis. She's insane to think that she could go do all these nefarious things in the background, get away with it, and just live her whole life without ever having to pay a price. Now, you may be able to go for a very long time, and Democrat after Democrat after Democrat is going to give you a pass, but eventually you're going to paint yourself into a corner because either you're going to get so deep into a corner that not even the Democrats can help you, or you're going to wind up being so far crazy that you're going to push people who are on the left to say, I think we're going to vote on the right. I want to switch here to Donald Trump for a second, who is being, as far as I'm concerned, assaulted, raped, unfairly beaten. You name the crime, they're doing it to him. And Fannie Willis is at the top of the heap right now. And meanwhile, she's an absolute train wreck. Trump gave a speech over the weekend, and I think it was in Virginia, and he's got so much, I guess it's charisma. He just has it. And I can see where people would watch this clip and be like, you know what? I may not be crazy about the guy, but man, does he say the stuff that I want to say. Ryan, why don't you play the clip of what he just said about Fannie Willis and her so-called boyfriend that she really didn't know all too well. Go ahead, play the video.
Look, I was indicted by Fannie in Georgia. Fannie. How did that work out? And her lover, Nathan Wade. And they hired him for almost $1 million because of his great, great experience. Of course, he didn't have any experience. He had experience in something else. You know that. A lot of experience. And at that, I'm quite sure he was very good based on the fact that she called him 2,000 times. I didn't know the gentleman. I didn't know him. Oh, you have 2,000 phone calls, 3,500 text messages. How is it possible in a short? I know a lot of people. We like a lot of people. I happen to have a very good relationship with a woman called Melania. Yeah. But I would venture to say in all the years that I've known her, I might not have called her 2,500 times. That's a, I know I didn't send 3,500 text messages. And they did this in a...
You know, Dennis, I don't want to spend the show talking about this, but no doubt Donald Trump has a lot of garbage facing him over the next couple of months. And the Democrats are going to turn on the heat very, very, very hot. But I think he's going to be able to survive it. I don't know. And maybe it's just my heart telling me he's going to survive it. But I think he's going to survive it. And part of why I think that he's going to be elected again is that the left is starting to turn on Biden. But I don't think they really have a good plan what happens next. The New York Times over the weekend published at the top of the website a poll that they ran, I think they ran it on purpose, asking people how they felt about Joe Biden and his age. What were the results of that poll?
Yeah, so the respondents, I think it was 62% of men, 68% of women, said that the U.S. was headed in the wrong direction under Biden. The poll also concluded that if the 2024 presidential election were held today, 48% said they would vote for former President Donald Trump, while only 43% said they would vote for Biden. 48% said they believe that Trump will win, while only 39% said they believe that Biden will win. So those are really not good numbers for the Biden camp, that's for sure.
Now, see, when you're the New York Times, you are stupid in terms of your ideology, but you're not stupid in terms of how to run a newspaper or a subscription service. You're actually excellent at that. And when you're about to engage in a poll that's going to cost you money, when you look at the poll in general, you got to know what the results are going to be, kind of. There's no shock that people aren't happy with Biden. There's no shock that they think he's too old to continue. There's no shock at all. So my point is, if they are sitting there and say to themselves, you know this is going to be a poll that's going to come back bad, and you know we're going to have to publish this, and you know the White House is going to get it, we're going to get phone calls on this whole thing. You realize that, right? That's the conversation at the New York Times. But the people at the top didn't give a rat's ass. In fact, the people at the top are probably communicating with Obama and the other powerhouses of the Democrat Party. And they said, look, we don't necessarily know how we're going to do things if Biden's not around, but we just know that we don't want him around. Run the poll. Dennis, I would bet almost 99% of what I have in my pocket on that. That's what happened. Because the New York Times otherwise would run that poll result would be up and they would be bombarded by the DNC, by the White House, by the Obamas. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Nobody seemed to care about that. So I think the New York Times is playing its role in trying to get Biden out.
Totally. They could have made the choice of not posting it, not running it, scrapping it, could have made an excuse that, oh, it was an error. But you're right. They chose to post it. They know exactly what they were doing. As much as we loathe the New York Times and what it's become, there's still no doubt that it's the publication that a lot of people go to when it comes to especially political and election news. And again, it just goes to show that, you know, Biden's slipping every time he appears on camera or he's trying to speak, or even the border visits, the contrast of Biden going to the border and Trump. I mean, Trump's there, like, you know, waving at the, you know, the illegal immigrants. And like, that's the thing. You said it earlier. You know, he's charismatic and he was just downright funny.
Yeah. Like,
he is downright funny. There was another video today. You know, he's endorsing Mark Robinson for governor of North Carolina. And during his rally, he's just like, you know, I told Mark, you know, he's Martin Luther King on steroids. And he kind of gave me a look like, what did you just say? And, you know, but you got to take it as a compliment. I mean, it's great because he just speaks honestly. And maybe I'll have Ryan play the clip.
Yeah, play the clip right now.
But, you know, I heard him coming in on the plane. I was listening and I said to the people on the plane, watch this. This is Martin Luther King on steroids. Okay, now, I told that to Mark. I said, I think you're better than Martin Luther King. I think you are Martin Luther King times two. And he looked at me And I wasn't sure, was he angry because that's a terrible thing to say, or was he complimented? I have never figured it out. But I'm telling you, he's one of, right? When I said that to you, you looked like, I don't know if I like that comment. You should like it because you are outstanding and you're going to be the next governor. So that's going to be very cool.
Yeah, it just goes to show, like, I think people are starting to see, like how you said, they're coming and attacking him, assaulting him, using these legal procedures. I mean, Nikki Haley just got her first primary win. And where was it? D.C., you know? So, you know,
That's the victory you don't want.
That's the victory you don't want. Tweet about it, you could just kind of tell, like, how do we spin this? And you can't really.
You can't spin it. You just took the swamp on your shoulders and showed us that that's who's carrying you.
Right. So I'm hopeful that Trump is now entering a new era of where when you get those comparisons of this very old man to this very old man, Trump is actually in his game. He's got it together. He's funny. He's talking to the people. He's actually communicating with Border Patrol. And then you got the other one, and we don't even need to get into all these issues.
You know, it's funny, later today, the Supreme Court, and who knows, maybe by the time people listen to this or see it, the Supreme Court is going to potentially weigh in, that's what the thought process is, on whether or not Trump can run for president. Let's assume that the conservative balance of brains, although that's also subject to change from day to day with people like Kavanaugh and Roberts, you know, who are supposed to be conservatives and then do things that look like they're going to bed at night with a Democrat. But they're going to be weighing in today. I'm thinking we're going to come away with all things are good. You know, what's happening now on the left is they're seeing how Biden is deteriorating, how Trump is just strengthening with the support that he's getting around the country. And what they're trying to do on the left now is they're trying to make it sound as if that support is not real. And then, of course, now they're trying to make it sound like Trump is senile as well. Before I get into what it is that the AP did, let's play a video real quick, Ryan. Let's play the video right now of there's a video of where Trump allegedly gets Biden and Obama confused in terms of, you know, who did what policy-wise. And now the left is trying to go insane on just saying this one thing one time, which is the equivalent of Denny, me calling you Ryan on mistake, or me looking at Ryan and saying, hey, Denny, you know, I do it with Ashley and Kelly constantly all the time. They're trying to take one mishap like that and trying to make it sound like we've got Trump being as senile, if you will, or falling apart like Biden. Just ain't the case. Play the video.
Get that war settled. It's a bad war. And Putin, you know, has so little respect for Obama that he's starting to throw around the nuclear word today. You heard that, nuclear. He's starting to talk nuclear weapons today.
So, Denny, let me give you this out of AP. I saw this yesterday when I was doing the website. It's amazing the things you can learn when you're doing the DML News app, right, when you're actually working it. So listen to this. This is from the AP. This is how the article starts. And the article is titled something about Trump losing, you know, having a hard road to victory. A small but substantial chunk. I don't know what that actually means. Is that an oxymoron? What is that?
That's called spin.
That's spin. You ready? That's how it starts off from the Associated Press. A small but substantial chunk of Republican primary and caucus voters say they would be so dissatisfied if Donald Trump became the party's presidential nominee that they would vote for him in November's general election, according to AP Votecast. An analysis of the data shows that many of those voters were unlikely to vote for Trump, some even before this year, but it still points to a potential problem for the former president as he looks to consolidate the nomination and pivot toward an expected rematch with Democrat President Joe Biden. According to AP Votecast surveys, of the first three head-to-head Republican contests, 2 in 10 Iowa voters, 1/3 of New Hampshire voters, and 1/4 of South Carolina voters would be so disappointed by Trump's nomination that they would refuse to vote for him in the fall. Now, first of all, Dennis, I don't know where the AP comes from on this, but if you were taking a math test and you got 2 out of 10 wrong, that would be an 80%. And I'd say, 80's a B. But in politics, if you come away with 80%, that's a runaway train. You come away with 66%, that's a runaway train. You come away with 75%, that's a runaway train. It may not be grades that you want on your report card at the end of the quarter. But if you're a politician running for president, those numbers are outstanding. And the AP is trying to make it sound that because Trump didn't get 2 out of 10 in Iowa, he may be in trouble, Dennis. He may be facing an absolute collapse come November.
You know, considering the state of U.S. education right now, I think an 80%, if you know my kid or a kid came back with it, I'd be happy considering the numbers of, of especially in blue states right now. Like, I mean, look at Illinois and New York with how their stuff's been since COVID. But you're right. It look, the AP, I think the perfect encapsulation of what they stand for, it just goes back to that Lake and Riley headline, blaming it on males going after female solo athletes or whatever that ridiculous headline is, instead of the actual issue, which is we had an illegal immigrant over here and, you know, he shouldn't be here and he committed murder. But the AP doesn't do that. You know, they downplay it. It's when I read something like that, my hope is that people have a high enough IQ level that if they read that, they say, how are they really trying to justify that this is bad?
Like,
this
is, Dennis, like, at hello, yeah. A small but substantial. What does that mean? Yeah. I mean, that's when
substantial,
you're
substantial.
That's like when that, you're struggling.
Yes.
That is when you're struggling. You know, you brought up Lake and Riley, and I didn't expect to bring this up, but over the weekend, looking on Twitter and again, you know, I usually don't do that. You do that kind of stuff now, you and Anita. But so I had a fill in on Sunday, and I was looking at the responses. Lake and Riley was put to rest over the weekend. You know, they had her funeral, and it was heart-wrenching. But it was amazing because they were making the comparison online to George Floyd. When George Floyd, who was a multi-time convicted criminal, who was high on drugs, who was doing bad deeds at the time of his arrest, and remember, he was arrested,
yep.
Right, and then resisted. They gave this guy 3 different funerals. Family got millions and millions of dollars. Joe Biden's putting out special messages about it. This hood criminal who wound up giving cops a hard time and then, you know, obviously ran into the wrong cop and all came to an end. But the world, the country stopped spinning for George Floyd, an absolute poster child for what you don't want your kid to be. And Lake and Riley, who I believe is dead because of Joe Biden and his policies and his administration, doesn't even get a phone call yet from Joe Biden. He hasn't even spoke to the family. He's not going to.
No.
It's almost like O.J. Simpson calling the Goldman family, right? And saying, hey, you know, I just wanted to give you a phone call and say sorry for your loss.
Yeah, look.
Well, you're the one who caused it.
The world stopped spinning, too, for George Floyd before the coroner's report even came out. So I'll leave it at that.
Right.
And then with Lake and Riley, you know, to your point, like they had a great vigil at UGA, I think, before the funeral. Hardly anyone in mainstream media covered it.
No.
Instead, you have the Athens Democrat mayor begging people to not look at illegal immigration in a negative light. And when you listen to this man, like I can only imagine the blood boil that her family must have because Katie Porter, all the people who have been speaking on it, they're trying to downplay her death so drastically in support of saying, well, these are just, you know, good people coming over. Or even the new term that they're using, newcomers.
Aliens aren't illegal aliens.
It's
anymore.
Gone from illegal aliens to illegal immigrants to migrants to newcomers.
Yeah,
I'm
newcomers.
Sure that's going to make every American taxpayer happy.
You know, I said this the other day, and I'll repeat it here because I think it's worth saying twice. I don't know anything about Lake and Riley or her family or her father, for that matter. I haven't even seen any press clippings with him or anything. I haven't really been looking, to be honest. Go ahead.
Well, no, her mom, I think, finally posted like on Facebook, you know, just said like, this is an absolute avoidable tragedy. This shouldn't have happened.
Okay. Yeah. That to me is the nicest way of saying,
yeah,
you know, my God, you took my daughter.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people who would not be handling this in the way that it's being handled. I just know a lot of people who would not handle this. Fathers who wouldn't handle it this way and say, okay, you want to know something? You know, I'm going to make right by my daughter. And I think the more that this sort of thing occurs, the more that Joe Biden and all the Democrats are hoping that sort of thing happens, because they will try to make it sound as if it is hate. We're all haters and what have you. We talk about it all the time, Dennis. This is by design. Joe Biden has known now for months. The media has kind of flipped on this story, and now they're reporting it as a problem for months. We've had CBS do it. We've had other people do it. They're covering it. 60 Minutes did a whole thing on this about how wide open it is and about how it is that TikTok is offering advice and channels for how to get here and do all these things illegally. And yet Joe Biden does nothing.
Well, look, I mean, really quick with the comparison of those border visits, Trump goes down, speaks about Lake and Riley's death. Biden goes down, he speaks about climate change.
There you go.
Just, you know, it's the messaging is insane. Yeah.
So last night, I went out to get a bite to eat by myself because your brother left me flat. Left me flat. Yeah, you did, Ryan. You left me flat. He doesn't have his microphone on, so he's not going to comment. Like, he feels guilty.
You ate alone last night?
I ate alone. Oh. I went by myself. I was all by myself. Well, you were over, and then you went home, but, you know, you didn't. It wasn't like, hey, you want to go to dinner, Denny? You went home. And then Ryan was still sitting around. I said, hey, man, you want to go up and get a beer and something to eat? And he's like, no, not really. I was like, oh, okay. God forbid tomorrow I get hit by a bus. He's going to pray for the rest of his life. He did. But I didn't get hit by a bus. Instead, I had to walk up all the way by myself because I gave my son my truck because his car had a flat, or at least was going flat. It had a screw. And I said, that's not safe, son. Take my car. So I walked up to the place by the restaurant by myself, a mile and a half there, hung out by myself, was one of those people that sits by himself at the bar and just looks at his cell phone, and everybody's like, oh, I feel bad for that man. Is he divorced? Does he not have a family? Is he an evil person that people don't like? All the gamut. You know what they were doing.
Well, in Ryan's defense, a little bit, he does use his Sunday nights to do our meal prep for the week, but I had no idea you were.
Yeah, so I was all alone. But actually, I actually ultimately liked it because it really gave me, I mean, when was the last time you sat by yourself, no joke, had a meal and didn't have to talk while you were having that meal? I tell you what, my food was digesting a whole lot nicer. And I was nice because I got to reflect. I was just sitting there. I was enjoying myself. I was watching a little bit of the golf on television, at the bar television. And then obviously, like everybody, I started going to my phone. And when I reached to my phone, the first thing I see on Fox News is new warning about the border. And I'm sitting and I said, do I even open this? Do I even open this? I have to. How do I not? I have to. This is such a part of our lives. Let me just read to you what I see. First paragraph. Border officials encountered upwards of 14,000, not 1,400, 14,000 illegal migrants at the southern border between Saturday and Friday. Jeez. So in other words, 24 hours, 14,000. Leading the encounters was the Tucson, Arizona sector, which is where most of my movies have been filmed. And I've been trying to get Sheriff Daniels onto the program here, but he has been, I mean, he's text back and forth with me. He is overwhelmed.
I bet. Yeah.
So in that sector, with more than 2,000 apprehensions of illegal aliens per Fox News' Bill Malugin. And that's on top of more than 1,000 gotaways on Saturday. So you're really at 15,000, one 24-hour period. I mean, you take that and you extrapolate that over a 30-day period, you're going to be looking at almost, if not half a million people in 1 month. Joe Biden's doing nothing. He can automatically tomorrow take all those 90-plus executive orders that he did when he came in to undo the things that Trump done, and he can put them back in, like stay in Mexico for one, Title 42 for another. You know, there's many things he can do, and he's not touching it. So we have a video here of somebody actually asking Joe Biden, why doesn't he do something about the border? And this is what he says. Play the video, Ryan.
Why are you waiting to take executive action on the border?
Because we need more forces on the border. I don't have the authority to do that.
Check this out, Dennis. You ready? So, new, for the second day in a row, more than 7,000 people came across the U.S. This is a couple of days before that. Breakdown, 2,000-plus in Tucson, 1,200-plus in San Diego, 970-plus in El Paso, 300-plus Rio Grande Valley, Del Rio, Texas, 280. I mean, they just go down. These numbers here, Dennis, are for 2,000 miles. I mean, Dan, 14,000 people in one weekend. I went on Facebook Live when I came out of the restaurant. It was a 60-second video, and everybody shared it. And I just said 14,000 people. I mean, the national security on that, the cost of education, healthcare, you name it on that. I think that this topic alone, last comment goes to you, is going to put Joe Biden in the retirement line and Donald Trump in the White House.
Look, again, there becomes a point, right, where Biden says he doesn't have the authority to secure the border. It's either just a blatant lying, or he really has gone into such a point that he doesn't know from left to right, and he's got people telling him that he just can't, and then he just really believes it. I mean, I every video I have to watch of him for what we do, I just don't see a man that's anywhere close to being in control. And it's kind of gone to a point where a lot of Republican governors, I mean, Greg Abbott, right? He's had to do his own part with the National Guard because he can't rely on the federal government. Tennessee, they're sending, I think they just announced yesterday, Tennessee Governor Bill Lee, he's sending now National Guards down to the Texas border. So, you know, is it going to just be that we're all going to have to start taking it into our own hands because, you know, meaning Biden, is just not going to act until he's elected out of office? Because what happens when he's not? And then we get four more years of him saying, I can't do anything about it.
I really believe that down the line, if Biden does indeed win again, and the Democrats do get a very big stronghold in this country, I think you're going to see states look to secede. I'm not kidding. I've never talked like that before, but I think you will. And I'll tell you why this sort of thing is a real problem on a realistic level for our elections. There's another thing here that I think you guys posted this morning on the DML News app. Attorney General Merrick Garland appeared alongside Vice President Kamala Harris in Selma, Alabama on Sunday, where he pledged to fight voter ID laws and other election integrity measures that he deemed discriminatory, burdensome, and unnecessary. Their appearance marked the 59th anniversary of the Bloody Sunday attacks on civil rights marchers in Selma, Alabama. So, speaking at Selma Church service to mark the anniversary of the attack by Alabama law offices on civil rights demonstrators, Garland recounted the story of voting rights since the end of slavery, a history which, he told the crowd, has never been steady for Black Americans and other voters of color. You know, look, I don't pretend to know things that I don't know, especially when people live something. But I have to imagine that the majority of African Americans in the country who hear that a voter ID is discriminating against them, I think makes them, I would be pissed. Because if you're telling me that you think so low of my IQ, that you think so low of my ability, that I can't go get a free voter ID card, if you don't think I could do that sort of thing, screw you. And what they're doing here is they're hiding behind slavery, discrimination. This is what the Biden administration is doing. Merrick Garland is doing it because ultimately they want to lax the ID laws, not for the Black African American, but for the illegal alien. Okay? They want to do it for the 7 million people that they just got coming in here. They want to do that maybe at this election, but in elections to come, they recognize going to leave them as illegal. We're going to leave them as illegal because if they're illegal, you can get them for cheap vote. I mean, you get them for cheap labor. But we're going to make it so this way they can vote because they could just go in. They don't need their ID. And if anybody asks them, you know, that's discrimination. That's the plan. And they're hiding behind trying to say they're doing it for the Blacks when really what they're doing is they're doing it for the illegals.
Totally. Look, I think Democrats really play on the gullible factor. Especially when it comes to the African-American vote. I mean, I go back to that Trump video, right, where he tells about Mark Robinson. He's the Martin Luther King on steroids. I mean, you know, he says it so directly because he doesn't view them any less. He views them as American citizens and productive people who are going to help this country. It's the same as if someone told Trump, like, you're the next Ronald Reagan, or how people tell Nikki Haley, she's the next Hillary Clinton. You know, it's just more of a comparison. So, you know, I think you got to look at it objectively. I'm not saying Republicans by any means are, you know, flaw-free. I mean, we have seen how flawed they can be, but their rhetoric has always been, we want to help Americans first, not illegal immigrants. Democrat rhetoric has been, we want to appear as if we're going to help the African-American community, but we really want to, and they've actually stated it on CNN, that one representative, but we really want to put our focus on the illegal immigrants, or I should say the newcomers. So I think more and more each day people are seeing through the facade, and it's mainly because it's the Democrats' fault. They've allowed this border crisis to become so uncontrolled that you can't hide it through AP headlines. You can't hide it through little segments on CNN, and you can't hide it through Biden lying 100 times in a row, I can't do anything about it, when people show, oh, you can do something about it. So, you know, at this point, you just got to listen to what they say and realize it's all just lies.
So in the video that Ryan just played, which, by the way, I had posted yesterday, I did a cool little thing that said DML videos and posts that I'm seeing today that are really cool. So, you know, if people want to see all the videos, that's where it is. But along with that video of Biden saying that he doesn't have the power to put more resources on the border, first of all, you got the resources you need. You're just not following the laws. Yeah. And written here on Twitter, Biden took 94 executive actions in his first 100 days to decimate border security and has all the authority he needs to reverse the course and end the border crisis. On Biden's inaugural day, he signed executive orders that incentivized illegal immigration to the country. He paused deportations. He suspended Remain in Mexico. He stopped the border wall construction. Just that alone is a message. Since these policy changes, over 8 million people have illegally entered the country, with millions more slipping past Border Patrol undetected. And then when you look at that sort of post, and then it goes viral because Elon Musk takes it and retweets it and puts in the comment, the massive flood of illegal immigration is due to 94 executive actions by Biden. Until those actions are revoked, claims by Biden that he wants to address illegal immigration are a bold-faced lie. And I believe that with the people that you see on Twitter, every single person on Twitter, right or left, around the world, follows him. And so everybody is seeing that. The Democrats are going to get their claw cleaned because people are losing money on this stuff.
To succeed on Twitter at this point, like if you get the golden nugget of Musk retweeting or responding to you, you get like an influx of new followers. And even when you sign up, it's like the first account that
he makes it so everybody likes him.
Yeah. So I think a lot of these people are like, oh, can I get Elon to pay attention? But the thing is, you know, thank God for Elon. I mean, there's things, you know, we'll disagree with him, but at least what he has done for that social media site in terms of kind of taking off the shackles so people can at least speak openly on this stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, not only that, think about this. You've got CBS, ABC, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, CNBC, ESPN. I mean, all these major networks are all giving lefty information. You got the New York Times. You got the LA Times. You've got Washington Post. I mean, the army and the arsenal of information that is like the AP that we just covered is unbelievable. Then you've got, you know, Google and on search engine, you've got Facebook, you've got YouTube. These are the biggest places out there. Instagram, all pushing those negative messages about the right, the lies told by the left. And then you're sitting there saying, okay, well, what do we do? You know, all right, we got the radio. Nobody listens to the radio anymore. They listen, oh, well, we got podcasts. All right, well, if you're being held back by podcasts like Apple doing to us, what's it going out? Elon Musk is single-handedly creating a situation to where he's saying, all those collective places together, we're almost as big as you are. I have 124 million people seeing my every tweet.
Yeah.
That is the fight that we're going to put back in there. And that's a great thing. The other thing that comes really good from Twitter is once in a while we can end a show with a really positive, pro-America, the Great American Experience video. Denny's going to line this one up. Ryan's going to play it. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was Indiana Pacers, so basketball game. They did the national anthem, and the person who sang the national anthem is 8-year-old Kinsey Murray. And I'll say that, you know, she's 8 years old, So it's not necessarily sung with the most correct of tones. But at the same time, when you listen to it, because I listened to it this morning, I mean, still for an 8-year-old, I mean, A plus. But wears an American dress. You see everyone standing at attention, no kneeling. And it just, I don't know, it felt just very American. And there was even a tweet, I forgot who had tweeted it, but they said, like, this should have just been sung at the Super Bowl and only be the anthem that was sung at the Super Bowl.
Ryan, let's play that for everybody. And for those people just listening to it, boy, this is one time that you wish you were a Team DML member, which you could do, by the way, by going to teamdml.com or the fifth tab, the Interact tab, top link on the DML News app. Ryan, play a video, and I'll close out the program right after. Well, I like ending on a good note, Denny. That's a good thing, right? So here we go. Let me just go down a couple of things. God willing, Denny and I will, and Ryan will be with you again tomorrow. Maybe we'll get the results of what's happening with Trump and the Supreme Court. That would be a very interesting thing. Also, we want to talk a little bit maybe tomorrow about Mitch McConnell. We haven't really done much with that, and there's a lot going on behind the scenes that we think we want to tell you about. Let me just go through some of the important things that you need to know for the week coming up ahead. Again, if you are an Apple listener, if you're on Apple Podcasts, this is your last show that you will be hearing in audio. The only way you're going to hear this program is if you go download the DML News app. You could get it for free and you will listen to the show. It is no different than listening to it on Apple. In fact, it's probably a little easier because you're going to get the notification a lot, whole lot sooner. Also, in terms of DML CBD, just want to let you know that in about a week and a half, for a 2-week stretch of time, March 15 to March 31, we are going to have full site-wide BOGOs. And then after that, there won't be another one for a while. So get ready for that if you are a DML CBD user. That's it for me. That's it for Denny. That's it for Ryan. On behalf of all of us, we wish you and your family all the best. May God bless you all, and may he bless the United States of America.
And I'd like to give today's blessing to Doris Kinnick, a great Team DML member.
Fantastic. We'll talk to you soon.
Have a great day, everybody.
Get the Dennis Michael Lynch podcast every day by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and download the DML News app from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store for breaking news, merchandise, films, exclusive content, and Team DML.